You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time to know your lane.
He thanked his wife
and his girlfriend.
And
then he backtracked and was like, sorry, just my wife.
His backtracking was at level, like Bugs Bunny type level. I mean, this guy was the roadrunner going the opposite way.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Raptors in action tonight. They clinched a playoff spot for the fourth year in a row over the weekend. They've won five in a row now. They're playing really well without Kyle Lowry. And Dwayne Casey had one of the weirdest, most cryptic injury updates ever. We'll let you hear that later in the afternoon on where Lowry's at. And it was really strange why he wouldn't divulge more information. And I don't know what's going on there with Kyle Lowry and how quickly he's going to return. And
maybe they're heading down the Leafs branch of information.
Well, they've always been tight to the vest. I mean, Dwayne Casey's never been a guy who's comfortable with talking about injuries, and Masai Ujiri is no different than Shanahan and Lou. You can't get anything out of him.
Right.
But they're cruising along, right? They've won five in a row. They're comfortably in their position. They're going to have home court in the first round. It's just a matter of whether or not they're going to be the fourth seed or the third seed. Currently a game behind Washington. They're in action tonight with Orlando in town. So we'll get to that later in the afternoon. Jack Armstrong will help us tee that up. Ray's coming up here in a moment. The big news in the sporting world is that Vegas is going to get a second pro team. The Oakland Raiders, it was voted on officially today.
I feel bad for those people.
Will be in Vegas.
I feel bad for those people.
In Oakland?
Yeah. There's some diehards there, man.
Of course. Any team that gets ripped away from the city, it's ruthless.
It is.
It's almost inhumane. It's just proof that this is all about the dollars and cents. These owners do not care about
you. You know what it's like, though? Every Saturday night, what's been a big part of your life forever?
Maple Leaf hockey. Right.
So for those people on Sundays that watch the Oakland Raiders for that many years, they're just poof.
And see, that was
ninja dust. They're
that's
gone.
A gritty barn to go to watch a game. Mm-hmm. Like, that is old school.
Did you do a poll where if your team was gutted from your city and relocated, would you still support them? I don't know if we did that poll.
We haven't done that one. I'll throw that out. I'll put even more specifics into it.
So the Joe from the
actually,
grid
I don't know
on.
If I could stop.
But here's where it gets even stranger for people in Oakland. They're going to Vegas in 2019. They're playing in Oakland for the next 2 years.
Oh, so can't they do it behind the scenes and dot the I's? And
that's where you would think the NFL.
Because I played in Hartford where it was like last game of the season. All right, we're leaving everybody. We're saying goodbye.
Yeah, but Jeff, you played in Carolina. Sorry to interrupt. You played in Carolina where you didn't you start in Greensboro and end up in Raleigh?
But I just mean the whole idea of playing two more years. I think people in the city had the idea that Peter Karmanos was trying to move the team. But I'd have to look at the information, but I don't think it was kind of finalized and announced till shortly before our last home game. Maybe that's way off base.
I'm sure there were some rumors out there, but to this point, I don't know. I mean, Ray might know. He's coming up in a moment. But this seems borderline unprecedented. Hey, in 2 years, we're going to Vegas,
but
please
come out and support.
Please buy tickets. But please come out and buy jerseys, Oakland Raider jerseys.
It would be interesting to see if they do make money right now.
Well, you know what? They're still a really good team. Like, there is a chance Oakland wins a Super Bowl in the next 2 years. They've got some really good talent, like Derek Carr, Amari
Cooper.
Imagine
they win a Super Bowl
Khalil
and
Mack
off to Vegas?
Well, they could pull a Colorado Avalanche and the first year in Vegas win a Super Bowl. Or first couple of years. And that would just be so gutting. If you're in Oakland, that you went through some really dark times.
Yeah.
Like, the Raiders have been a laughingstock for like a decade. And they're finally coming out of it. They're finally a good team. I think they won 11 or 12 games this year. They got to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's...
They're moving in the right direction. And they're leaving in 2 years. I don't think I could support them for the next 2 years. Like, hypothetically, if the Leafs were leaving in 2020, I don't think I could go down to the ACC and support the team, knowing that the owners are up there counting my cash so that they can hit the felt when they get to Vegas.
Yeah, this
no
guy.
Chance, man.
And that guy's hair and his weird look in his minivan. There's a P.F. Chang's in Vegas, so he can set up shop there.
That's the amazing thing. Mark Davis is going to be the it owner in Vegas. Casino owners are going to be fawning over this guy. The Lloyd Christmas bowl cut, the bad minivan, the Nokia flip phone from the early 2000s, and the stool at P.F. Chang's.
I just had some confirmation from a former teammate that said right around the last game is when there was confirmation we were gone. That's how we did it.
That's still ruthless. It's very ruthless. But
would you rather have that other you-know-what show?
I'd rather just rip it away like a Band-Aid and leave.
Well, Lloyd Christmas is going to have a tough time at P.F. Chang's sitting there feeding his ugly face.
If I were him, I wouldn't be around Oakland.
Yeah.
I would not be walking around Oakland.
Nope. I don't think he's a popular gentleman.
No, there. He's not anyway, and now it's official because this has been in the works for like 18 months. He's been trying to move to L.A. Well, he's been trying to get the local government to pay for the new stadium.
He's really doing it, buddy.
And he's really doing it.
We're really doing it, though, aren't we, buddy?
Mark Davis is taking the Raiders to Vegas. And there's no way Bettman and company can be happy about this.
No.
No way. Because even though they're going to have a two-year head start, which is good, and it's a different sport.
Yeah, but they're starting from scratch, not bringing in a...
The NFL, like, Derek Carr is going to be in Vegas. He's a Pro Bowl quarterback. Khalil Mack might be the best defensive player in the game. He's in Vegas.
Okay, so let me ask you this. The NFL compared to the NHL from a player's standpoint going into Vegas.
Well, Lloyd talked about that today and said we're going to protect our players and we're not going to allow them to get carried away.
You can't view Vegas like that. New York City's the same way. Yeah. Toronto's an awesome. Like any city, you can just turn into a gong show.
I've said this many times.
We've all done it, all of them.
Right. It's not the same. It's not the same.
Why is it not the same?
For starters, prostitution is legal in Nevada.
So what? What do you think? Every pro athlete loves prostitutes?
I didn't say that, but I think there might be a few that might.
So all the money people downtown, the guys that. Or at bars every Thursday night, what do they think about prostitution?
I don't know. They might get involved, too. Yeah. But guess what? In Toronto, it's illegal. In Vegas, it's legal. Now, let's bring in Ray. And Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Just be on my side for once, Ray. Vegas is different than every other city, right?
Well, it's different in 100 ways.
What are
we talking about?
Well, he's talking about the element of getting in trouble, and I'm trying to say you can get in trouble anywhere, man. L.A., New York, Edmonton on a Tuesday. I've been in trouble on a Monday night in Edmonton.
Like, that's some good work, O.
What?
That's good work by you. I would say the real question should be in your poll, one of your polls, is which athlete will they find in a bad spot first, an NFL athlete or an NHL athlete?
I would say I'm biased. I would say NFL, but I mean you can go on that website and the NFL rap sheet.
I'm a little bit irritated that you just think automatically someone's getting in trouble.
No, here's my point.
How come
some
you don't do that?
Could get in trouble in church.
Here's my point though. It's not trouble under the law in Vegas. It is trouble everywhere else. That's my point. Is in Vegas, prostitutes, gambling, you can do it all. You can do it all, and it doesn't matter. And that can you can spiral into just a rabbit hole that is loaded with debauchery. Everywhere else, you have to be on your toes.
Something I do know. Like, you know the NFL teams travel Saturday for Sunday games. I would say there is zero chance they're staying on the Strip.
No.
Right.
They will be staying 45 minutes away. They have those guys in meetings. The last meeting is at like 10 o'clock, 9:30, I believe, the night before the game.
Ray, what about if your team's on fire, hockey-wise, and you got 2 or 3 days? Do you say, we're doing the Strip and take a chance?
Oh, well, yeah, you can't treat them like 8-year-olds. I mean, when L.A. was the only team in the South... We'd get out there 4 days early and by the midpoint of the trip.
By the time the game came around.
Man, you're just hoping you got enough guys that are upright. Yeah. I mean, we had a practice 2 days before a game in L.A. We went out there 4 days early. We had a practice, and two of the guys didn't finish. And it wasn't because they pulled a hamstring.
Ray, nothing. I played with a goaltender who went to Vegas from L.A., spent the night in Vegas, and he took practice, and he didn't move. He didn't save one puck. Like, he just stood there, and every shot went by him. He didn't sleep. And then we went and played 18 holes of golf after. This guy was a machine.
How about the way guys would show up there?
Oh, my God.
And you'd be like, oh, my God, you reek. You smell worse than I do. Get away from
me. Trainers,
you know what?
If
Vegas was around when your era was around, Ray, you guys would have ended up finding some garbage dive bar outside of the Strip. And that would have been the hockey joint to go to.
The place in L.A., I forget the name.
Harry O's. Harry O's, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, that was better. That had some real action. I want to say the one was Melody's. It didn't have any windows.
Yeah, the Melody.
Yes,
you guys would just go there with your mustaches and drink 100 beers. And I don't know what the hell you did after that.
Sometimes you came out and it was like, and it was earlier, and the sunlight would just blind you.
There was no windows.
And then you'd go. I will say this: we used to stay always at the Marriott.
Right at the airport. Yeah.
That hot tub should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh my God!
Just a cesspool.
Oh.
You could have a horn growing out of your head if you ever went underneath. Like
you had to go in with bathing trunks on.
You should wear your suit in that hot tub.
Oh, that was like a grade A place to take a left turn, and they're going to have, like, the hockey guys are going to have more opportunity to turn left in Vegas than the football guys. Because footballs, they're literally in and out. The home team, man, they're there all the time, and look at the rap sheets of NFL players. They can get in trouble anywhere.
Well, and they've got a bigger roster, right? It's a 53-man roster. So
if you're on the practice squad, do you travel with the team?
No, you wouldn't.
Those are the guys to keep an eye on.
They might start making them travel with the team.
Yeah. They'll demand it. There'll be a strike the next time the CBA is up.
I would honestly, if I had a practice squad in Vegas, I'd make the practice squad in like Fresno or something.
Yeah, go to Mexico or something.
Oh, that would be better.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It could be safer. Anyway, needless to say, the big story in Toronto was Freddie Anderson and him being injured and day-to-day. And they announced today McElhinney will go tomorrow. So you presume Anderson probably won't even dress. I mean, if he's going to be off, you might as well really give him the night off. And they've got Garrett Sparks up here. People are starting to panic because it wasn't a great game on Saturday night anyway. Boston won on Saturday night. The Islanders won on Friday night in Pittsburgh. Tampa's won back-to-back games. What's your level of concern for the Maple Leafs?
My level of concern is not high, but it gets higher the minute Anderson's day-to-day becomes a week or 10 days. Like, if that's what happens, McElhinney can run the ball here for a few games, but just think of how many times Toronto's won because there's been a great stretch of the game where Anderson's been unbelievable. Like, that, this would be, okay, so what did he skate today, 20 minutes or something?
He skated on his own.
Before practice.
And then he went out for about 20 minutes.
So if tomorrow he's not on the ice, then you got something to be concerned about.
Yes. He woke up today or the next day and is not good after the skate.
That's the concern point. And then so if we talk about this tomorrow and Anderson wasn't on the ice and he's not at the rink, then you got something to be worried about. And if not, if he skates again and runs out practice a little longer, then maybe he doesn't play Thursday, but he's ready for the weekend.
Well,
and then you're like, that's just a little bump in the road.
Yeah, I think McElhinney deserves the benefit of the doubt because he's played really well for this team, and he is capable of winning them a couple of these games. But to your point, if it turns into all eight down the stretch and he's got to supply four or five wins, or 9 or 10 points, whichever way they come about, then the nerves obviously escalate. And I got to be honest, I'm a little bit nervous just based on the history of this team this year when it comes to a diagnosis of being day-to-day. Because Babcock has joked about this, but he's also been somewhat serious about it. And quite frankly, behind this joke, there was a lot of truth. Because when it came to Marner, he was day-to-day. He missed 5 games. When it comes to Morgan Riley with the high ankle sprain, he was day-to-day. He missed 6 games. And this is what Babcock said, I believe, in mid-January when he was asked about the Marner status. Listen to this. We'll come back and comment.
Day-to-day. So what does that usually mean? 10 days. So I just, you know, that's why they have these doctors and these trainers, because the coach and the player would be playing today. But they don't let us get involved in the equations. We save ourselves from ourselves.
Now, every athlete is different. Everyone recovers different. Every injury is different. But day-to-day for Marner and Riley was 10 to 12 days. And if that's the case, you're talking 4 or 5 games.
But here's the difference, though, is that in those times Marner and Riley were out, they are working out, and they can't do enough to play. So they got to wait another day. Then they can't do, you know, like physically you get to a point where you're like, yes, I can play. I can do all the tests you want to give me. This is, how do you feel? And that really is the question mark. Now, Aaron Ekblad came back for whatever reason. They stuck him in the lineup. And now he's back out of the lineup because he didn't feel right. And so, my point is this is so tricky and difficult to get your head around. And so, Babcock is probably hoping he's wrong in this case. But I think tomorrow is kind of an important day. He'll go to bed tonight, wake up, and I'm sure he's, I know I would be like, as soon as I wake up, okay, how do I feel? You know, you'd be looking around your room. Can I focus on things? How do I feel? I'd walk to the kitchen. Okay, yeah, I felt okay there. Like, I'd be a basket case hoping that I'm okay to practice and get going again.
Well, Babcock, he's been very cavalier with injury news this year, and we talked about this in the 4 p.m. hour.
Right.
I don't think he's got an issue with the players. I think he's got a gripe with the medical staff. You know, and that was on display again on Saturday night. It didn't seem like he was too happy with the Buffalo doctor pulling Freddie Anderson from the game. And I'm not surprised. I think every coach would have that approach. There's a lot of ego that comes with coaching. There's a lot of power that comes with coaching. But the one instance within the organization when it comes to the day-to-day operation where they have zero vote and no power is the medical staff. And
really probably a good thing.
It's right. Absolutely the right thing. Because Babcock, he said this before, if it were up to him, Marner would have been playing. If it were up to him, Riley would have been playing. It sounded on Saturday like if it were up to him, Anderson would have been in the net in the second period. But it's not, and it shouldn't be. You know, I think we've learned
just,
that over
like
the
a lot
years.
Of us, he just missed his medical degree.
Right. Just missed out.
You know, so, like, I can imagine if you're a coach and you go in and you say, how's our guy today? The trainer goes, well, Doc says he's no good. I'm sure you want to strangle the doctor, but that's not the doctor's job. The job of the doctor is to protect the players, because we're all dumb enough that we would try before we're ready to play, certainly coming into a stretch of games like this.
Well, the season's on the line, right?
Well, we were talking, Ray, how daunting would it be coming down the stretch those last 4 games, Washington, Tampa, Pitt, and Columbus? If you got to win 3 of 4 or all 4, like, pack a lunch.
Well, and now, so they've got, right, they got Florida, Nashville. They're in Buffalo again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the in Buffalo one is like, that's like a flashing light, right? You're like, God, again? But, man, they got to put, to O's point, they got to put some points in the bank here.
Yeah.
And so now, Boston got a, man, they got a, 2 goals from Riley Nash and Anton Khudobin, one in goal the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Like that looked like a game they weren't gonna be able to put points in the bank, and they put 2 in.
I'll tell you what, Tuukka Rask, I never criticize a guy's injuries, but he's I think over the past couple of years
he finds weird times where he's just like, I can't play,
and it's just weird. The guy might be hurt. He probably is hurt, but it's just weird, man.
Wasn't
well,
it
last
sick?
Year, they needed to win the last game of the year.
Yeah, and he was sick.
He had the flu or something or other.
Jesus.
Well, and the players didn't know. I mean, they got there and they're like, where's Rask?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, he's sick. Gus is playing. Gustafson went in there.
Yeah. I would literally puke my guts out. I would puke.
Well, yeah, because I continue to talk about, regardless of, there's a couple situations in the NHL where you're very stable with both positions, but there's a drop-off on every team between your starter and your backup. That's why your starter gets paid the big bucks and your backup is a guy who fills the role. And when I saw Hudobin skate out the other day instead of Rask, you're sitting there and it's only natural, Jeff, your reaction, Ray, I'm sure your reaction's the same thing, is Hudobin is not Tuukka Rask. No.
Ray, you know Kevin Dineen, he was my roommate for 4.5 years. If I said I had the flu the last game of the season we needed to win, I don't think he would ever talk to me again.
Do you not think he would say, well, so what?
No, he would never talk to me again.
No, like, get to the rink.
Yeah, he would fuck it up. He would drag you to the rink.
I know what I'm saying. If you actually did that, we probably would not be, like, he wouldn't talk to me again.
I suspect that, I don't know, Ray, I just in kind of reading cryptically out of Boston, I didn't think it was a sickness. I think he's a little nicked up that they're trying
to... Well, and on the heels of... 4 games where he hasn't played very well.
Exactly. Like, I think he's laboring with something, and they finally...
But they announced today he's playing tomorrow night.
I know. He's back at practice today. But that maybe that day to take a step back was better for
him. And they got the win without him, which could be big.
Well, but what about, you know, so at the start of the year, I think Rask had every Bruins win until January.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, Hudobin's won 5 straight games. Like, that's 10 big points that he's been able to put on the board. And now you got your big boy back, and he's got to take you home. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's what they have to be looking at. But in Boston, they've missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. They had 95 points last year. I think they had 93. And they tied with Detroit but didn't have enough regulation wins, so they lost out. And now they're like, wait a minute, is this going to be 3 years in a row that down the stretch we stub our toe? That's what they're saying in Boston.
Well, from a Leaf standpoint, who really scares you behind them? Boston, New York, Tampa. I mean, we're up in Toronto, it's always worst-case scenario. What if they do this? What if they do that? But it's almost as if people here are presuming that Boston, Tampa, and the Islanders are going to run the table here, which isn't going to happen.
What about Carolina?
And Carolina.
Yeah, I brought that up earlier.
On fire.
They're 7-0-3 in their last 10.
How about Eddie Lack? Bill Peters should have kicked him in the shins hard in October. He might have had this.
Yeah, he would have done that earlier. Eddie Lack has been on fire.
Like, I did the game in Long Island. They won 8-4. Cam Ward was terrible, except the Islanders' goalies were so bad they gave up 8. And I'm like, wow, Carolina played okay. I'm surprised they're, you know, they didn't get any saves, but I'm surprised they're, you know, they fell apart like they did. And that was the first of the 7.
Yeah.
Or of the 10. Now they're 7-0-3, and I think it's probably a little bit too late for them. But, man, could you imagine if Tampa somehow scratches together and hangs in there and that game in Toronto becomes huge in early April? Like, there's... I know. They said they wanted to play meaningful games. Now they're all meaningful.
Well, and that's the truth.
Pretty stressful.
Right? Yeah, this is the beauty of pro sports, is your mentality, it changes every single day. Because Tampa's got Chicago at home tonight. The Islanders have Nashville at home. If they both lose, people are going to come in tomorrow and be like, the Leafs must be feeling pretty good. They got games in hand. They still got a buffer.
Like, you win in a game without even lacing them up.
If they both win... Then all of a sudden, the Leafs are barely in the playoffs.
Well, you're
again.
Looking in your rearview mirror. You're constantly looking in your rearview mirror.
Exactly.
That's what you're doing.
Like, the Islanders are 3 back of the Leafs. Tampa are 4 back. So there's still a lot of road here. There's 8 games apiece.
And you want your best players available for the road, and that's what's concerning with Frederik Andersen.
But isn't it crazy? How many times have you looked at Tampa, or at least I have anyway, and gone, oh, yeah, they're dead. They're finished. And then you're like, oh, my God, they won 3 in a row. They're back in it.
I did a game in Tampa. I came back the next day and told the guys, I think they're done. And it was an Ottawa-Tampa game, and they just didn't have anything that night. And then they went on a run, and then when they lost to Arizona, was it last week?
Oh, yeah, ugly, too.
Yeah, they couldn't help themselves. I mean, Vasilevsky just had a terrible game, and and Hedman didn't stop that empty net. It was just one of those games. I watched it. They were awful, and I said, that's it. If they miss the playoffs, circle that one on the calendar, and they continue to find a way. They are a resilient group, and that Kucherov is ridiculous.
He's been absolutely
outstanding. Oh, my God, what a stud.
He's got to be getting close to some MVP talk, no?
Well, to me, he's got to be he's certainly in the top five.
No question.
Yeah.
For sure. He's had an amazing year, especially because they don't have any players. And what's he got now? 38, I think he got his 38th this weekend. Like, just an amazing year. And then, but you know what? Just one little tie-in to the Leafs here. You know, where teams get hot, another team gets cold. The season's so long, it's impossible to be hot or consistent all the time, as much as we always babble about that. San Jose was so far in front in the Pacific. Now they've lost six straight. They lose Couture, who got hit in the mouth. My God, that made me sick to my stomach to watch him get hit like he did with that. I don't know if you guys saw that. Slap shot from the point, deflected out, hit him square in the yap.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes.
Gross, gross injury. So he's out. They've lost six straight. Anaheim's 8-1-1. Edmonton's 1 point back of San Jose now. And you're like, how did that all happen?
It
happens fast.
Well, and that's the truth, man. Like, look at, again, the Leafs and the Bruins were flipped like 10 days ago. When the Bruins came back from their Western Canadian trip, I think they were four up on the Leafs going into that final game against Edmonton. And I remember at that point, the Leafs weren't playing that night, saying if they win tonight, the Bruins are going to be six up on the Leafs, and that's it. It's over.
Yeah, they're gone.
Then they lose that game. They go on a skid. The Leafs go on fire. And then before you know it, the Leafs are 3 points up all over the course of like four or five games. And that's why eight games, that's 16 points.
It's a lot of road.
Like, there's
still
a lot of road here. And it couldn't have been a worse injury. It really couldn't have, unless it was guaranteed he was done for the year. But in terms of specific players, and we had this debate earlier today, Ray, and it's what our poll question is all about. For me, if I could choose one guy to be in the lineup tomorrow night, hypothetically, Matthews or Anderson, it's Anderson all day, all night.
Like, I'm with you.
You know, it's the most important position by a mile.
He's been too good for too long here, yeah, the last little bit. I think he's had a fantastic year. It's hard to believe in October he couldn't stop a beach ball.
Mm-hmm.
He was, 86% or something.
Well, if he was any good in October, we wouldn't even be having these chats about playoffs, not playoffs.
One of the guys on the panel was calling him Fred Toskala for a while.
That's right.
Freddie Toskala.
I remember trying to not to laugh, but I was – It was
a rough
goal. He was
playing like Fred Toskala.
And he didn't play very well, but I knew he was a very good goaltender, but easier said than done. You got to go show it, and he settled in. And then the Fred Toskala nickname went away, which he...
Well, deservedly so. I mean, he evolved as a starter, and he started playing a lot better, but he was...
He had a rough start.
He was Fred Raycroft for a while. Like, it was
no, Andrew Raycroft set the record for wins in a season. I had no problem
with
Raycroft.
News.
Raycroft is a goaltender.
All right, buddy. Enjoy the games tonight, and we'll panic again
tomorrow
at 5 p.m.
In for the game tomorrow night, and then on to Nashville. So,
all right, buddy.
Talk to you then.
There he is. Ray Ferraro and Ray on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They get you out of your timeshare guaranteed to give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto, or visit the website timeshareexitteam.ca. Get back into the poll question. Jack Armstrong will join us ahead of the Raptors game tonight. DeMar DeRozan named the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. He's won that award four times this season.
My caddy.
He has been so money for them, and they punched their playoff ticket over the weekend. What a strange experience being a Raptor fan all of a sudden, because it's a lock before the year starts. We haven't had that with any of the big three teams since the Leafs in the early 2000s.
And the Raptors have had a little bit of a bumpy road, too. It hasn't been as smooth as...
It hasn't been overly smooth, yet it's still like, yeah, they're going to get close to 50 wins in home court in the first round.
You called it at the start of the season.
Right.
But to get there, the process has been a little bit bumpy.
It's been absolutely bumpy. And if you told me, again, Kyle Lowry was going to miss the final 15 games of the year or whatever it is, I'd say that could be a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
Yet it really hasn't been. Statistically, they've played better without Kyle. sure he's loving that.
Made some good trades, though, too.
Yeah, Ibaka, P.J. Tucker's been money for him. So Jack will join us, get back into what's going on in the NFL. And apparently Bill Foley, the owner of the new NHL Vegas team, not overly excited about the NFL coming onto his turf. Get into that as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. All right, our main man, Jack Armstrong, will join us in about a half an hour. He, Sam Mitchell, Nabil Kareem, putting in great work covering the tournament, March Madness on TSN. We're down to the Final Four. And a couple of Cinderellas still kicking around, but there's still 2-1 seeds in Gonzaga, North Carolina, where if they win next Saturday and get to the finals, we're not going to remember the Cinderellas. It's going to be another predictable year, or at least people can label it that.
Right.
But if South Carolina gets through, if Oregon gets through, well, you're talking 2 Cinderellas potentially. So we'll catch up with Jack and get his thoughts on that and tee up the Raptors game tonight. We'll also play that audio of Dwayne Casey with a bit of a status update on Kyle Lowry, yet he caught himself from really giving any details. And it was just a really strange, kind of cryptic. Yeah, I'm not sure where he was going with that. We'll play that to kick off the 6 p.m. hour. Big news in the NBA over the weekend. Devin Booker from the Phoenix Suns scored 70 points.
It's a big night.
That's a massive night. And there are certain things that make Twitter blow up in the sports world. If a pitcher's on pace for a no-hitter or a perfect game around the sixth or seventh inning, Twitter's like, okay, hey, everyone tune in here.
Right.
And in basketball, it's when someone gets up over like 50 points.
You know what? I'm sure Austin Matthews did that. The Twitter machine probably was on fire in Ottawa. He's got 4.
It was, for sure.
And the third, I think it was before the third.
Yeah, it would have been. When he hit 2, he hit 2 in the first period, I believe. At that point, I'm sure Twitter was like, you might want to tune in here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the whole league was talking about it.
Yeah.
This cat puts up 70.
70 points, but they lost by 10. They lost
tough
by
for the
10.
Team to be celebrating that. You know, like the players high-fiving him and stuff.
I know, but the Suns are garbage. Let them have a little bit of fun.
That's kind of my stance on it, is Phoenix, they're an awful team.
Boston was just chirping them, too. They were like, these guys were celebrating. And it's like, yeah, that's what you do when you're garbage and someone has a special night. Sorry.
So you guys would be cool with that? You'd be in their team picture, Instagram?
I wouldn't be. I'd be pissed off.
You'd be embarrassed by the loss?
Well, think about it. The one guy has a great night. Well, isn't it a team game? You're just passing the ball to him, and he's slamming it in.
Essentially, they ended up with 120 points, I believe. So the rest of the team combined for 50 points while he was just jacking shot after shot.
Right.
Now, historically, Devin Booker's not a big scorer, right? So I was reading stuff on him over the weekend. Like in college, he never had over like 40 points in a game. In the NBA, I'm not sure he's had over 20, 25. Then he goes off for 70. It was just one of those magical evenings for him.
It's a great night for him, and he deserves to be excited about it.
I think he had some lashback too. Whoever he was playing against that night chirped him, and then he chirped back and said, "You can't guard me."
It was Isaiah Thomas, and there's some beef there because Thomas was traded by Phoenix to Boston, so maybe he's still got a bit of a hate on there. But Thomas came out, and I'm paraphrasing, but essentially said, "Great, like we won, we're going to the playoffs. You guys are going to the lottery. Yeah. Like enjoy your evening."
Right.
And yeah, Booker came back and said, "Well, you were my guy, and I torched you all night." But at the same time, I think Isaiah Thomas went off for like 34 points himself, which is a massive night. Which means on the opposite side of the floor, it's not like Booker was shutting them down.
But don't we talk about this all the time? Isn't it the great legend of Steve Yzerman, who could get 100 points every year on a losing team, and he left the points on the table to become a better player, a more well-rounded player, and wins the Stanley Cup. And that's what Scottie Bowman told him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you celebrate? I mean, you can celebrate individual nights, but if the team still loses and you're not doing anything, so
it has to put a bit of a damp feeling on
everything. Kind of, you're right. It has to. You have to have some perspective with it.
Well, look at Matthews. He scores 4 goals his opening night. They lose the game.
Right.
He ties Wendell's record on Saturday night. They lose the game.
Yeah.
Two big, big moments that
you don't want him to score tomorrow night.
I guess, yeah, you don't want him to break the record tomorrow night because they'll lose to Florida somehow.
Yeah, that's the type of stuff. It is. Individually, you're excited. And on the plane or after the game, you go up to the guy and say, hey, congrats, you played awesome tonight. Like, you do that, but to be openly celebrating.
They really took it deep. Like, they were doing team pictures and posting pictures, and they were excited.
They got nothing else. They got nothing else.
That's kind of where I'm at. Like, leave them alone. If you're Isaiah Thomas, what do you care? You won the game. You're going to the playoffs. Boston's caught Cleveland.
But that's, I think
you
that's
know what it's like being on miserable teams.
Believe me,
I would have had a rager for that kid that night. Like, out, restaurant, whatever you want.
Full out party time.
Yeah.
But I had no problem with Isaiah Thomas going, yeah, good luck with that, because, you know, take that as your moment for the season.
That's your championship night.
That's your championship.
And that happens with a lot of teams. Like Colorado, let's say Nathan MacKinnon scores 6 goals the next time they play.
Yeah.
They lose 7-6.
You got to be happy.
I think he'd probably be pretty happy about that. I think, because that's just been a miserable season for everyone involved.
Colorado Stanley Cup down the stretch here is beating a team and hurting their playoff hopes or their seeding.
And that's what Buffalo did on Saturday night.
Right.
Like, that was a big game because the building was half filled with Leaf fans.
How about Jack Eichel giving it to those fans in the corner?
If I was a Sabres fan, I would love that. I would love his attitude. But what it also did to me was just magnified.
There's going to be a lot of great matchups between these two.
There's going to be a lot of great matchups, but Toronto dwarfs everything Buffalo.
But here's the thing.
Like, that's all it said to me.
I thought of that night. I was in here at the studio. If Austin Matthews missed as much time as Jack Eichel this year, would the Leafs be where they were?
No.
Because you would have to think Buffalo's looking at their points and where they're at in the standings and saying, man, if we had Jack Eichel another 25, I think. What did he miss? I think he missed first 20.
Give or take. It was a high ankle sprain. It was a lot of games.
You had that player in that lineup for another 20. May not be the full 13, but maybe it's 7 more points. Maybe they're knocking on the door where Carolina is or whatever. That must be in the back of their mind saying, because that guy's, Eichel's unreal. He's a hell of a player.
If you flipped him and Matthews, he would be as big as Matthews in this town. Like, he would be the equivalent. Now, they're different styles. They play different games. Eichel screams Stamkos, Sagan. Like, that's what he is. He's going to be a 35, 40 goal scorer, 80 point guy for the next 10, 12 years. He's going to be a great, great player. He already is a great player. I think Matthews is more well rounded. I would take Matthews, but it's also because we're familiar with him more. We see him. He's in our backyard right now. And I'm sure there's people in Buffalo that would say, I'm not taking Matthews. I'd rather have Eichel. But Eichel trolling the Leaf fans in the building has to be a highlight for Sabres fans. They have to love that attitude.
Sure.
But it also, again, said to me what has always been obvious, that you're talking about David and Goliath. Like, Toronto as a market. Yeah, just a fan base. Like, get used to it, Jack, because every time you play that team, those same Leaf fans are going to be in the corner.
Yeah.
So, you fist pump all you want.
I almost tweeted out the best thing about getting on the bus after a loss in Buffalo is reminding yourself you don't live in Buffalo. But I figured I have enough people that hate me.
You'll just say it on the radio instead.
Yeah, you'll just say it on the radio with Buffalo listeners.
I love that. Like, Twitter is somehow a bigger platform.
It's okay, Leafs. Get on the bus and just realize you don't live in Buffalo. Go home to a nice city.
In watching that team the other night, if Eichel's healthy, they're a lot closer than the Leafs than people think.
Yeah,
that's what I took out of that game. Not the score, because it happens. Like, the Leafs are going to beat them just like that Buffalo beats. I think it's going to be what excited me is there's another good young team coming that's up and coming. Like, I think Winnipeg's a good up and coming team. Carolina's a good up and coming team. Edmonton. The Leafs,
but they're not all going to hit.
No,
like, there's going to be a couple that kind of fizzle away, and it just doesn't materialize.
Well, that's on management to make them better, to surround those players with better players. That's what I take out of all of this. Is these teams are not all 5 or 6 that I just mentioned. That's not the same rosters that are moving forward. It may be the same core, but it's not the same rosters. So that's up to management to make their team better.
But you also just look at how Colorado at one point was that young team that everyone was envious of. Last year it was Florida in the East. Now they're not going to make it. And
Colorado's rebuilding from a young team that had everything.
Everything. Well, like, remember a few years ago,
Colorado made some mistakes. But Colorado, a couple years ago, the MVP was the goalie. The goalie stole the season for 112 points. That's what on paper made it look bad. Florida, we're just talking about Frederick Anderson missing one game. Florida Panthers have been missing Roberto Luongo.
But even when he was playing, they were still out of a playoff spot.
But they were a lot closer.
They were closer, but they weren't in.
Last year
they finished first in the division.
I know.
Like it's a drop-off, healthy or not, with Luongo. But with Colorado, I'll grant you that Varlamov was spectacular. But 112 points.
Right.
There were other players that had to do something to get to 112 points.
Well, McKinnon lit the league on fire in
McKinnon,
his first year.
O'Reilly, Duchesne, Landeskog. You had all these players. And I remember comparing that core to the core in Edmonton and the core elsewhere, and everyone's like, oh, I'll take Colorado all day. Yeah. These guys are going to be money for a long time, and they've been brutal for years.
But you know what they
now.
Didn't do? Their D, they didn't upgrade on the D. And that's where it's interesting to tie it to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't upgrade on the D like Colorado did, they tried patchwork, adding in guys like Beauchemin at 35 years old,
They're such a bad team.
Getting the Zadorov in that trade. I think Zadorov has a chance, but I mean, you move out Ryan O'Reilly.
They got fleeced. It was a horrible trade.
What was it, Gergensen's and Zadorov?
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Waugh.
That was Patrick Waugh. Yeah, exactly. What's his name? Or it was Grigorenko's the kid's
name. Grigorenko, yeah.
And he played with them in Quebec City.
And they've missed, like, Carl Soderberg at $4.5
million.
Oh,
it's terrible.
They've been horribly
run for a while now. There's no denying that.
I agree.
But it's just, I guess it's a warning that things go up and down.
Guarantee.
And nothing's guaranteed. And that's why it's so important to get in this year. If you're the Maple Leafs, you've gone this far. Just close it, get in, extend your season, make it the cherry on top.
Yep.
Because there's no guarantee next year they're going to have the same season. There's no guarantee. Jack Armstrong will join us. We'll get back into the Maple Leafs news and what's up with Freddie Anderson. The Raps are in action tonight. Orlando's in town. Terrence Ross making his return to the ACC.
I was going to go to that game.
Monday, it doesn't matter what night it is. It's an energetic building regardless. The Raptors clinched. They're going. Should be a fun night. I'll be on the elliptical tonight watching that game.
You're not getting on it, buddy.
It's happening. I'm telling you. I'm doing a nighttime elliptical.
You are fake news.
In a long time.
Quiet.
All right. Jack Armstrong coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Maple Leaf lineup player of the day. On Friday, call in with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl seats. See the Maple Leafs take on the Pittsburgh Penguins. The final Saturday of the NHL season, April 8th, down at the ACC. The theme this week is former Maple Leafs who have had their record broken or tied by Leaf rookies this season. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day, Wendell Clark.
Next week, we should do Maple Leafs that have resurrected their career because of MyPillow.
I love that idea.
Interesting.
Let's see. I'll bet you there's a bunch of old school guys.
We'll find some guys.
Quality night's sleep because of our friends at MyPillow.
Maybe Kaber.
Kaber and those yellow teeth.
He doesn't want to stain the pillowcase, though.
Yeah. Yellowcase.com.
Poor Kaber. We got to have him back on.
Yeah, we should. Well, maybe with Florida in town tomorrow, maybe we'll reach out to him, see if he can come on tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure.
Why not? We always have fun talking to him.
We'll get him to tell a we got a guy story.
Zamboni.
Andrew tweeting and saying, quiet, quiet, quiet. It's probably the best soundbite on the show.
Quiet, quiet, quiet.
It is.
It is a great soundbite.
There are some great soundbites, though.
Vern got pummeled in the face by a basketball.
He does such great work.
Did you guys see that?
I did see that. People send it to us.
He called the finale of that Florida win on Friday night, and he was so in the zone, that little bugger, Vern. God, I love him.
Mowing people's lawn.
Just right
in
there.
He was probably peeling the crowd for chicks.
Just a little bugger, Vern Lundquist.
He is.
Jack Armstrong will join us. We'll tee up the Raptors game tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.